Good morning.
Good morning, Darryl.
Good morning.
Good morning, Darryl.
Good morning,
Caroline.
Caroline.
All right, everybody's here. Good morning, good morning to Adina, Caroline, Darryl. And good morning to myself. I have to include myself here. So everybody's bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, I hope. And I just invite everybody to just take a deep breath with me right now. Let's ground ourselves in this moment, in this now, which we're going to actually talk about today. Because we can only breathe right now in this moment. We can't breathe in the future, can't breathe in the past. We can only breathe right now. And we bring our attention to ourselves. We bring our attention to what's seeking to emerge through us and with us, as opposed to what's coming at us. And we know there's so many things coming at us that sometimes we just want to go back into bed and put the covers over our head. But we're just going to stay focused to see what's seeking to emerge. So how is everybody's week? What are some of the wins? Let's celebrate the wins. No win is too small and too big. Let's celebrate together as we move toward our dreams.
Well, I have a huge win for me.
Okay.
It was for me, emotionally and spiritually, it was very big. And I just want to apologize for any sounds, since I am driving at the moment. And I will mute myself when you're during the main course. But my win was that I have an office space in my house that was really just acting as a storage unit. I never was energetically able to work in my office. And so I decided to start cleaning it up. And that was part of our assignment, right, to clean things up and get rid of stuff.
Yeah.
And so I've been working at it for a little bit, but I made a big push. And I reclaimed my office in such a way that I'm now working there, and I find that I'm much more productive, and I'm happier because I can just go into this space, and it's almost like going through a vortex into a world or a zone that is different from the rest of the house. And it's where my work happens. Darryl, I don't know if you know, but as well as being a Kangen person, I am actually a writer. And so this office space is like, for me, I've never been able to write in my own space. I've always had to go other places to write. And so now I'm writing in my own space, and it's really exciting.
Very
so that's
good.
My win.
That's a big win.
Big.
Because I know, you know, in the past you had to go to a cafe or had to be someplace else, but now
exactly.
You've created that space, and you cleared it out, and you said, this is my little corner of the world, and this is my vortex I step into.
Exactly. And I'm much more productive because there's a lot less distractions than if I'm in a cafe or even in the dining room. So.
Yes. That's good. Congratulations.
Yep.
And we celebrate
Thank
that.
You.
We celebrate that. Better productivity, better creativity, better flow.
Mm-hmm.
That's good.
Yep.
We celebrate that. I think we all want more of that in our lives. That's good. Congratulations. Who else? Who else has a win they'd like to share?
Well, in the way of, just looking here at the different areas here, we have our environment, our relationships, our finances. On the finances part of, I had written down there that what I needed to clear out of the finances was overdue balances on credit cards or whatever, and had some come and do, and so I went, where's it going to come from? How's it going to be? Well, I just decided to hope and pray and just believe, and all of a sudden, hear my son come up with some money to that we wasn't thinking about that he decided to to give us, and so took care of that situation. Another time he was wondering what was going to happen or how it was going to happen, but decided that we'd just trust and believe. And another one is conditional giving. It says, what do we need to clear out in our relationships? And I put, while I was listening there to, I'm not even sure which one it was on, this week or last, but I was in the meditations there. I was told about that, how that tree in the forest, that poem about the tree in the forest says that doesn't do like people say, well, I'll give to those that deserve it, but it doesn't do that way. It continually gives so it doesn't perish. And so I was thinking about conditional giving. I was going to gather some flowers to give to someone, and I thought, well, in the past I didn't receive a thanks or whatever, and just maybe didn't seem like they really appreciated it, and just give it to them, and then they just glance at them and go on. And so I walked on down the path there, and then I got thinking, well, but that's not unconditional giving. And so I gathered the fire and said, this will be a token of love regardless of what the outcome will be. What I will receive, I'm going to just unconditionally give that. So that was, I worked on that.
That's wonderful.
That's a big win. That is a big win.
Awesome.
Yeah. I mean, that was a big lesson for me too. And I'm still learning it. Because I remember years ago, walking down the streets of New York City, there's homeless people, and sometimes, they're asking for things, and oftentimes when I was younger, I wouldn't give, because in my mind I was like, well, they're just going to buy alcohol or drugs. They're just going to they're going to waste it. So why should I give it to them? But what we're learning here, and what I've learned over the years, is that the give is up to me. They receive it, and what they do with it, it's between them and God. And so it's the same thing there when you're talking about it. So that's what we're talking about, is unconditional, right? So it's like, oh, if I give you this money, then you better go buy food for it, with it. No, you can't buy alcohol, you can't buy drugs. That's conditional based. Same thing, it's like, I'm going to give you flowers, and then, well, I didn't even get a thank you note. That's conditional based. But this way, it's like, you know what? If the Lord puts it on my heart and I give, it's up to them what they do with that receive, with that gift. And, they're going to buy alcohol, that's their choice. Because God always puts two trees in our garden, right? Because God gives us a choice. We have free will. And so what they decide to do with it is up to them. So that's a big win. I see that as a big win. So that's good. That's good. Anyone else? So, it's a work in progress, right? We learn these principles. We apply it every day. Life is an unfolding. So, things happen. Things come up. And with these tools, we're able to better navigate, better to interact with events and people and our own spirits, our own souls. And so it gives us this, these lessons along the way, these aha moments, these raising of awareness along the way. And it's raising our awareness to the abundance that's around us. So last week we talked about being a person of increase, so being that person that, that unconditionally gives those flowers. And so today, this week, we're going to learn to live in harmony with the laws of the universe. So really starting to key into that. But last week, being a person of increase, we looked at a couple things. We're learning to tune to the frequency within ourselves where abundance is ever present. And so it's a really powerful idea that we come from abundance. We live in abundance. We live in a field of abundance. And so abundance is always there. That's the truth of the matter, is abundance is always there. It's just, how do we tune into that? How do we tune into that? And being a person of increase means living from and in harmony with the frequency of abundance. And so it's a matter, it's just like if you go to the, it's nighttime, you go to the light switch and you flip the switch and the light doesn't come on, you know, and your neighbors have light and you see light elsewhere, and it's like, uh-oh, maybe God doesn't want me to have light. You don't think about that, right? But oftentimes it's like, oh, well, you know, this blessing, the financial blessing didn't come in. Maybe God didn't want me to have this thing. It has nothing to do with that. When we flip the light switch and it doesn't come on, immediately go, okay, there's a circuitry problem. Maybe the bulb went out. Maybe the cord's not plugged in. Maybe the circuit breaker tripped. And we go and we investigate how we can complete the circuit. Well, it's the same thing when we work with the invisible laws. It's like, okay, if this part is not flowing, so with electricity, the electricity is not flowing to light the light, then we know it's a circuitry problem. But if abundance in any form, whether it's love, whether it's time, whether it's finances, whether it's ideas, creativity, if it's not flowing, then it's a circuitry problem. It's a connection problem. It's a tuning problem. And so we talked about three key ways, this is from last week, to get in harmony with the frequency of abundance, to be in tune with that. Through the practice of tithing, so committing to giving a regular and consistent percentage of your income to an organization that feeds you spiritually and teaches people how to experience greater levels of freedom. So it's a spiritual principle. And again, we're like radio towers. What we put out, by law, comes back. And so that's just, tithing is teaching us that. We give first, and then we receive. We looked at, you know, increasing the, you know, our awareness by, through the practice of gratitude, blessing the good that you have. We want to be in gratitude. We need to be in gratitude, to be grateful for what we have, to be grateful for the things in our lives, and through the practice of giving. And it's interesting because if you look at tithing and giving, it seems like it's a similar function, right? Because you're giving, tithing is giving, but it's really different. Tithing is a spiritual practice of tithing, you know, your first fruits. Giving is when you give to another. Now, you could tithe to another as well, but giving is when you give to another. So when you give that bouquet of flowers, you're giving to another. And when you give, you come from a place of abundance. And so by putting these practices, and the theme has been coming up a lot over the past couple of weeks in our sessions, it's what we're teaching here, it becomes a lifestyle. It becomes a way of being that, you know, like when we first learned to drive a car, we're so self-conscious, right? We're looking at the mirrors, we're looking at the rearview mirror, we're checking all the indicators, and, you know, we're very self-aware. But then over time, it becomes second nature, to the point that we can listen to stuff on the radio, we can follow along with a, you know, with a talk or a sermon, we can sing along to music, we can have a conversation with somebody sitting next to us, and the driving becomes second nature. And these principles, these practices, you know, we want to just keep working with them until they become second nature. We don't have to think about them. It becomes part of our lifestyle. So, you know, it's interesting because, you know, when we're at live events with Mary, we do this thing called time machine, where we step back. Well, we not step back. We step into the future, and you know, it's the dreaming process. So now we're living from the dream, and sometimes you hear like people say, "All right, we're gonna do time machine again," and people groan. Oh, you know, some people groan. It's like, well, you know, that's because they look at it as a chore. You know, so if you're doing your dream work, you're doing your visioning work. You're being that person of increase, it shouldn't be a chore. It shouldn't feel like a chore. It should just feel natural as part of your lifestyle, part of your daily who you are. So last week we invited you to consider ways that you could be a tither, be a giver, and then to circulate, clear out, and create space. So let's just touch base a little bit. So what are some of the ways you committed to tithe your, it's not just money, tithe your time, your talent, and your treasure. So what are some of the ways that you've experienced that this week? Because I know for me, you know, obviously, like through coaching, there's a natural flow of being a tither in a way, you know, where I'm giving ideas. But we have friends that are, you know, they're not our clients, they're friends or family members. But we often are tithing creative ideas. Often are tithing. I guess it could be advice. But it's just, you know, guidance. So we're often putting time into that, spending time with that. It's, you know, as well as tithing our treasure to the church, and it's volunteering, you know, giving our time for events and so forth. The other thing is to be a giver. What are some of the ways you gave this week? So Daryl, when you thought about the flowers, giving flowers, did you give flowers this week?
Yes.
Oh, nice.
I gave time for our track. We were able to go on a track route and actually parts two, and so I gave time that way. And then I decided that my greatest treasure in life is life, and so I would share that with others. And so when I had opportunity, I would try to encourage someone or whatever, give them a little boost or a compliment or encouragement or whatever, ask them, how's everything going? And it seemed like everyone would say, oh, it's going just great. And so I decided, well, I'm going to just see if I can really help someone stop and think. I said, so it's everything's going so really great. Yeah, that one lady said, yeah, it's going great. So I said, so then you really don't even want to go to heaven, do you? You have it so good here, you wouldn't want to go to heaven even. And I thought, well, maybe I could give her a little bit of a thought that really there's more to life and more to look forward to than just on the top of our head saying, oh, yes, everything's good, you know, everything's good. But really, to be honest, well, we'd like to. No, she thought about it a little bit and said, oh, she said, no, I think I really would like to go to heaven. She said, I think so. So that was just one of the ways that I thought I could give and share inspiration with others and sing a song for them and to them and so.
That's good. Yeah, because I think oftentimes when you do ask people, oh, how's it going? It's just like their answers are just like canned, right? They just like, oh, everything's fine, everything's great, you know. And it's interesting you said that, you know, like, oh, well, I guess you want to go to heaven. I just heard a pastor recently, I don't know if it was on a video or live, I think it was on a video sermon that I was watching, and he said, you know, he said, our job is not to get to heaven. Our job is to bring heaven down.
Yeah.
And I thought that was such a powerful statement, right? It's not like our job is like, oh, I'm going to get to heaven, you know. You know, I'm going to be perfect here. I'm going to get to heaven. But that's not our job to get there. Our job is to bring it down. So just like you said, it's like, okay, everything's fine. Then you're ready for it. No, I want more of life. Okay. And what's that pull of life? What's that ever-expanding pull of life? You know, where can you grow? Where can you bring heaven down? I love that.
That is beautiful. Yeah, my father once told me that if God doesn't judge you by how often you go to church, but by on your actions, on how compassionate, how giving, and how, you know, kind you are. By, you know, by following the laws that our churches give us, but it's not about actually, you know, that's not how we're valued. We're valued by the contribution and compassion and kindness and goodness that we give to the world.
Yeah, because that's our commission, right? You know, I mean, there's a lot of people that go to church on Sundays, but what do they do between Monday and Saturday?
Exactly. That was an old joke. I have committed to go to my mother every Thursday, and it's funny because I have flowers in my bag as well as the fact that I cooked yesterday. I cooked a bunch of meals because I don't feel she's eating well enough. And anyway, so I guess in a way that's a kind of tithing because I'm giving spiritually and physically my time and my love to help take care of my mom. But I don't know if that counts because to me it's obvious that you would do that for your mother. But
yeah, so that might be more of a give. I mean, you know, a tithe is more spiritual. Like, what's feeding you spiritually? Now, your mom could certainly be feeding you spiritually.
Well, no. Let's not get carried away.
Okay. So we could just reclass that a little bit, but that's all right. But it's good. It's good to be committed. You know, Caroline is she has patients that, you know, an older woman that she helps take care of. And, you know, she takes care of her like she's one of her good friends. You know, she really leans into her and really, you know, is there. And it shows. It shows. You know, the woman says that she really, you know, they all love Caroline because she genuinely cares. She's genuinely present with them. She generally, you know, asks questions and is curious and you know, gives of her heart in that way because that's who she is.
Yes.
So it becomes part of the lifestyle. It becomes part of who we are. As opposed to, oh, it's a job. You know, I'm just doing my job. You know, it becomes a chore. No. I mean, is there difficult days? Yeah, there are difficult days. Just like with your mom. Are there difficult days? Yeah, there's difficult days.
I was just going to say, you know, that last week when I visited my mom, after our class, which had left me in a very positive energy, was one of the best visits I've had with her in a long time. And it was actually spiritually nourishing because we went through old photos and she actually was, you know, well enough to tell me some stories and to share things that I didn't really know. And that was really nice. It felt good for both of us.
Yeah, and then just note that the shift happened within you first.
Right.
The shift happened, and so as we, you know, so that is, that lives within you, and so you know, where it's an inside-out universe. It's what's inside you is reflected what's outside. So and being that person of increase by having that internal environment, robust and loving and giving and tithing and you know. It just leaks out of us because we're leaky vessels. It just leaks out of us, and that's who we are. That's who we, you know, we become. And it does change the environment. It does change the options of the people around us. So that's good. That's good. And then circulating, clear out, creating space. You know, so Dina talked about that. You know, clearing that out. You know, we continue to do that little by little, here and there. Sometimes it does feel like we're clearing out one space, but we're just shifting it to another. So I don't think that counts. So I think we need to actually move things out of the house.
Put in the storage unit.
Yeah, or just donate it or give it away. We did actually give some clothes. We donated some clothes this week, so that was a step. Because sometimes we clear it out and it goes in the car, and then it stays in the car for a few weeks. So I don't know if that counts either. then we got to go to the car and clear out that space. So this week, so we want to be in tune, more in tune with abundance. We want to be more in tune with these invisible laws. So would it be okay with you if life got a whole lot easier, right? When we are in harmony with the laws of the universe, life gets a lot easier and way more fun. In this lesson, we'll consider the ways for living in harmony with the laws of the universe. And we're going to look at five things. And I'll just list them first, and then we'll go into them a little bit deeper. So, learning to live in harmony with my soul's purpose. Learning to set your intention by where you place your attention. So the word intention actually came up over these past couple weeks. I know Caroline has been really focused on that, intention. Learning to listen to the infinite broadcast of spirit. I love that. The infinite broadcast of spirit, because spirit's always broadcasting. I love that. Learning to live in the now, so we're going to touch on that. And learning to live in gratitude. So we're going to learn to live in gratitude instead of gratitude for, which is still valid, but we want to just touch on this concept. So the first one, learning to live in harmony with my soul's purpose. So how do I feel when I'm in harmony with my soul's purpose? You feel amazing, right? So you have to have a clear vision. So that's why we're learning here to have a vision-driven life. The vision for 3 years out, the vision for this weekend, the vision for this day. Learn to start visioning things out. Things are coming up, an event's coming up. Vision it out. How would you like that to unfold? So having a clear vision puts us in harmony with our soul's vision, our soul's purpose. So, and when you're in touch with your soul's purpose, you feel more alive. Life gets easier. So it goes right back to day one, lesson one of dream building. What makes you come alive? What lights you up? What lights you up? What gives you more life? What gives you more life is part of your soul's purpose. That's what the Lord is putting on your heart. It lights you up. It lights you up. When you're in touch with your soul's purpose, you feel more alive. Life gets easier. But when you're out of touch, you feel worried, you feel anxious. And so you could see one is very expansive and the other is contractive. So those are indicators to say, uh-oh, I need to tweak something here. Something doesn't feel right. So using our feelings. Don't forget, everything starts with thought. Thoughts generate feelings. But if we are looking at our feelings and saying, our feelings here are a little contractive. There's a little bit of anxiousness or worry. Let's go back to the thought. Let's go back and tweak that. What here am I not in harmony with? What here am I not in harmony with my soul's purpose and my vision? And so we go back and we look at that. So ask yourself, what makes me feel more alive? Key question. What makes me feel more alive? That will guide you. The Spirit will guide you to say, okay, this is what gives you more life. This is what makes you feel more alive. That's feeding your soul's purpose. That's being in alignment with that. So that's one way, a powerful way, that we can be in alignment. The second thing is learning to set your intention by where you place your attention. So Spirit, the universe, reads our intention by where we place our attention. So we need to learn to think differently. Many of us were taught patterns of thinking that lead to contraction and struggle, like, you know, things like no pain, no gain. Well, focus on that for a while and see what happens. You're going to get more pain. Or money doesn't grow on trees, right? So if we're focusing on that, that's where our intention, our attention is, and we're going to get more of that. Now, these are ideas we inherited. You know, we didn't come up with them on our own. These are ideas that we inherited. We didn't know any differently when we were kids. You know, the people around us believed this was true. I mean, we're not faulting them. It's just like that's what they learned, right? Knowledge is passed down. It's passed down, passed down. But we can start to change that. We can start to think differently, you know? So this is a way of thinking that produces that experience, but it's not the truth of the universe. It's not the truth here. Those can be facts, right? But it's not the truth. The truth is that we live in an abundant universe. We need to look at things different. We change our perspective. So ask yourself, how can I expand my thinking to be more in line with what I know to be true about the universe? How can I expand my thinking? Because everything comes from thoughts. How can I expand my awareness? How can I raise my awareness? How can I be more in tune with that? So setting that intention by placing, you know, what we focus on. So the first brave thinking tool is notice what you're noticing. And so we have the ability to notice where our attention is going, where are our thoughts going? Where are we placing our thoughts? So if, you know, your credit card bills are coming up and you start to put attention on that, and then the anxious and worry and starts to come around it, well, we're putting that out. We're like a radio tower. We're putting out that signal, and by law, it's going to come back. Instead of saying, you know what, I'm going to stay focused on abundance here. And just like what Daryl said, he didn't expect that. It just came. It came out of the blue. And so oftentimes, it's like we say, all right, well, you know, the only way I could see money coming in is through my Enagic business. I'm going to focus on that, which is a good thing. If you're doing that, 100, you know, focusing, let me put it a different way. It's good to focus and put attention and intention there. But if it's the only way, right, so this or something better still, but if you look at it as the only way, you're trimming off unlimited options around you. So it's one way. So I just wanted to make that distinction. It's one way that money and abundance and finances could flow into my life. It's one way. But if I stay open, this or something better still, stay open that there's other possibilities, and then all of a sudden your son shows up with some money. All of a sudden, you know, somebody comes along, and so this happens, and then it's like they're way beyond our comprehension on how things line up. Because then we allow God to do his work, and things just start to pour in. It's like, wow, I never expected that. It came out of the blue. Well, where's the blue? I don't know where the blue is. It just came out of there, right? So we learn to ask bigger questions. So most of us ask small questions and forget to ask the big ones. So you could certainly say, okay, how can I take 2 weeks off without losing any pay? That's one way to ask a question. Or you could say, how can I take a two-week trip to the south of France and make $20,000 doing it? Now, that's a bigger question, right? A bigger question, much more expansive. So whichever question you get interested in will be the one that you attract. So where do you place your intention? So setting intentions. I know we talked about that, setting intention. It's like, okay, you know, tap into the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, guide me here. I'm going to set my intention. This is the vision I have for my ideal client, my ideal customer, my ideal business partner. And you hold that intention. You hold that vision. You project that out. You put that in your magnetic field around you. And say, okay. Then you say, all right, how can I be in a place where this person can find me? And I know Daryl's experienced that. We've all experienced it. You say, okay, well, go to this restaurant. Go to Costco. Go here. Say, okay, you go. I don't know why I'm here, but I was led here. And then you just take the next step. You take the next step. So you take an action step from where you are with what you have in that moment. What can I do here? What's the next step? You hold the vision. You hold that. Ask the bigger questions. So ask yourself, what problem or question am I facing? And what's a bigger question to ask? What's a bigger question to ask? So sometimes, like the way that an adjective is, okay, you know, I need, you know, 4 customers this month. I need to sell 4 machines this month. You know, how can I do that? That's one way to ask it. But the other side is like, how can I attract even just 1 business partner who then sells 4 machines? We're 4 business partners who sell 4 machines each. How can I attract those people in? And they hold the vision of them just getting it, and they're energetic, and they speak well, and they have a big circle of influence, and you know they love the water, and they just really lean into it. Hold that vision. Hold that vision. And those bigger questions will come. So, you know, learning by paying attention to what you pay attention to. So notice what you're noticing. Whatever you really get interested in, you start attracting to yourself. That could be ideas, it could be places, it could be people, it could be opportunities. You know, like the other day, like, you know, Caroline did a little experiment. She said, all right, when I go out drive, you know, out doing errands and stuff, I'm going to set an intention, just a, like a little practice thing. I'm going to set an intention to see purple cars today. You know, she just picked a color. I'm going to see purple cars today. I'm going to set that intention as a little practice thing. And sure enough, she, you know, we're out driving, going to do some errands and stuff, and she's like, oh, look, there's a purple car. Oh, look over there. There's another purple car. And it's amazing how that works. We set our intention. We set our attention on something, and it just comes to us. It comes to us. And so that's a, you know, it's a little practice thing that you could do. And then you start to expand it. Because the same amount of attention or intention to create a button, it's the same amount of energy to create a castle. It's the same. It's just that easy. A button, a castle, doesn't matter. So where we put our attention, our intention is where we put our attention and set that. You know, we choose the frequency of our thinking, the frequency of our emotional environment, involvement, the frequency of what we focus on. We choose that. So we hold the remote to life in our hands, the remote control. And if we don't like the frequency that we're experiencing or that we're looking at or we're in, we just push that button. We change the frequency, change the state, change the environment. We have that ability to do that. And so we practice that. I want to see purple cars today. I want to see red flowers today. I want to see, you know, I want to find money today, you know. So attract that. So ask yourself, where am I placing my attention? And do I want to make any shifts? So notice what you're noticing. Shift it. There was Michael Beckwith. Michael Beckwith is the founder and senior minister and visionary of the GAPE International Center for Truth in L.A. And there's a story of him with a homeless man. And Michael drives to work every day, and he sees the same homeless man on the center divider, you know, as part of his drive. And he'd stop, you know, and he'd spoken to the man a few times, and the man seemed bright, and he was very articulate. And so Michael got interested in how this homeless man had gotten to this point in his life. And he spent a couple weeks really just focusing on that. How can that happen in somebody's life? Somebody that's bright, somebody that's very articulate. How does one become homeless? And so his attention was on the lack, was on the homelessness. And shortly after that, Michael started being investigated by the IRS. They were saying, "Oh, you owe us money." And the sum of the money the IRS said he owed was everything that he had. It was everything at that point in his life, everything that he had. That's what they said he owed. And Michael realized that he needed to be interested in the Christ inside the homeless man, the divine inside the homeless man, the potential inside the homeless man. Not how he became homeless. And sure enough, the IRS problem soon was resolved and Michael owed nothing. And so it was a spiritual lesson for him. He said he just started, and I remember hearing this story years ago, and he really was really leaning into, putting a lot of energy and attention into why this man became homeless. And all of a sudden he started having trouble. You know, government was knocking on his door. It's like, oh, well, guess what? Maybe that's a way that you become homeless. And so then he shifted his attention, intention, and attention onto the man, the being, the human being, the soul in front of him, the divine, the Christ in him. And it shifted everything. And the IRS problem went away. Didn't owe a dime.
Did he help the guy?
I don't know what the full story. I don't remember that detail. I'm sure he did because he gives often. But he did shift his. So the whole point was just he shifted his attention and intention.
Yeah.
And it just made a difference. And it really was. It's a powerful learning moment for him. So the teaching point here is what we attract into our life. In this case, the IRS investigation is a product of where we place our attention. So we have to be careful where we place that. That's why when we write our vision statements, we don't want to write them with words like debt or pain, words of lack, words that don't reflect abundance. we don't want to put those there because there's a vibration there. There's a quality, there's an energy there. And if it's there and we're reading it and we're leaning into that, it's like, I want to be pain-free. Well, you know, our subconscious mind doesn't hear pain-free, it just hears pain. And there's an energy around that. And you're projecting that out, and guess what? You're going to get that back. You know, I want to be debt-free. You know, I want all my bills to be paid. Well, bills, debt, okay. We're going to give you more of that because there's an energy there. As opposed to, I want zero balances on my credit cards. My income statements are increasing steadily every day. My body moves freely, you know, with a lot of energy and ease. And so there's other ways to describe that. There's other ways to lean into the abundance. And so out of those two things, let me just check in with everybody before I go on to the next one. So learning to live in harmony with my soul's purpose, and then learning to set your intention by where you place your attention. Is there anything that came to mind in those two points? Or any questions on that?
Well, one, you know, I have always loved these laws and embrace them, and, you know, always relearning them. So I catch myself, interestingly enough, I have some sort of latent fear of falling down the stairs. And so quite often if I'm running down the stairs in the house, I imagine, like, that I'm tumbling down the stairs and what that would be like. And I stop myself. You know, I stop the thought and I say, no, this is not the kind of thinking I want. This is not the kind of thinking I need. I am fine, and I am protected, and I am guided, and I will, you know, and I'll be fine. But it's just interesting how it's just a little thing. And, you know, I have fallen down the stairs before, and, you know, so I just a little nervousness there about that. And then last night I was reading, and I had a smoothie next to me, and I had this feeling that I was going to knock it over. Like, I, you know, and lo and behold, I knocked it over.
Yeah.
So
anyway, it's interesting where you place your attention, right? So again, paradigms are sneaky things. They you know, they'll come in, they'll sneak in and says, oh, well, you know, you fall down the stairs. You fall down the stairs. You're going to trip down the stairs. You know, so it's distracting us or dissuading us or, you know, trying to get us off track. It's trying to keep us in the safe zone instead of saying, oh, you know, you're pushing against your green growing edge here. So notice what you're noticing. You take a breath and say, okay, well, I'm going to recode that. I'm going to change that in the moment. So
I also have to be careful of who I think of, because if I think of someone, almost inevitably I will run into them within, you know, within the day, less sometimes. So if I think about someone I don't want to run into, then inevitably I run into them too.
Yeah. That's funny.
So what do you do with going to fall down the stairs, so what do you do? Reset that your intention?
I stop. Well, I stop in the moment and I say, I don't need those kind of thoughts. I am protected. I am fine. Right? You know, and I'm also perhaps a little more careful too. Like, I hold the railing, or I make sure, you know, I've become conscious of going down the stairs in a safer way too.
No, that's so interesting, because on our track route, I have a place where I, by one of the truck stops, and I run down a whole bunch of steps, and that very same thing came to my mind just the other day as I started down those steps. I said, you know, I started to think about, what if I'd trip or fall or something, and I just stopped and I said, no, I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to think that way. There's no reason why I need to, because I was running down the trail yesterday, and I had that same thing come to my mind. Well, I know I have tripped and fell before, but I said, no, I'm not going to think about that. Yeah, this might happen. This is going to happen now. I'm just going to say, no, there's no need for it to happen.
Exactly.
But I was wondering if that's really, if I needed to go another step yet. I was wondering what your thoughts were on that. What is, how, if we should have more, I should have more of a positive thought on that, that no, I won't fall,
I mean, it could also be, you know, spirit saying, you know, pay attention here. You know, maybe slow down. Yeah, maybe there's something here that's along the way that if you're going so fast, you're not going to see it. Right? So, but, you know, it's different than saying, well, you know, I always trip. You know, I always fall. I always trip down the stairs. I always fall down, you know. It's a whole different thing. So, but maybe it's a way of saying, oh, you know, slow down here. Pay attention here. So, you know, you catch yourself. Notice what you're noticing. But if it's just like, you know, this thought that's haunting you, like, oh, even though you're, you know, you're walking in town, you're walking on flat surface, it's like when you walk down the stairs, you're going to fall. You know, you always fall. You go down the stairs. It's like, oh, you're going to change that. You know, change the intention, change the attention. So, but it's interesting that both of you thought the same thing or experienced the same
thing.
Yeah.
That is interesting.
So, now I'm not going to be self-conscious and think about that when I walk downstairs. I'm going to say, okay, I'm going to pay attention here. Okay, so the third thing here is learning to listen to the infinite broadcast of spirit. So there is an infinite broadcast of spirit that's omnipresent. It's always there, always speaking to us. And our work is to learn how to tune our inner ear to that broadcast. That broadcast is eternally playing, and if we ask the right questions, and if we're really interested, and we fall in love with it, we will be able to hear in a way that we can understand. And it's interesting, because I just heard, we had a guest pastor, because our church is it's a missionary-based church, missions-based church, and we had a missionary that he's an American, but he lives in Nepal with his family, and he came to give a message, and he said something really interesting, it really struck me, and he said that everything that's been created can hear the voice of God. I was like, oh, okay, what does that mean? And he talked about the story in the Bible where Jesus is in the boat with the apostles, and he's sleeping, and there's a bad storm, and the apostles, they wake him up because he's like, oh, you know, don't you care that we're going to die here? And he's like, and he speaks to the storm. Peace be upon you. Peace be with you. He speaks to the storm. The storm hears his voice and is calm. And he said, everything that's been created has that ability to hear the voice of God, including us. And so that's what this is like, this infinite broadcast of spirit is the voice of God. The voice of spirit is always talking to us. We have that inherent ability to hear it. We just have to be able to lean in and tune our, you know, our ear, our inner ear, our spiritual ear to it, to that voice, to what that broadcast is. And this broadcast is always whispering to us that you are more than you think you are. Because I think by our humanness, we limit ourselves. We're so much greater than we are. And George Washington Carver said that if you fall in love with something deeply, it will reveal its secrets to you. That's pretty powerful. I mean, it's like, you know, you fall in love deeply with a person, they're going to reveal their secrets. And you fall in love with an idea, a concept, the secrets will be revealed.
In his case, it was the peanut.
He loved the peanut. So ask yourself, what is the infinite broadcast of spirit whispering to me? That's a powerful question. We lean into that. And that's, you know, it's our guidance system. We lean into that and say, all right, what is it whispering to me? You know? Even Gandhi had said, I'm going to butcher the quote, but he said that, you know, it's our willingness, because spirit is always talking. It's our willingness to hear, our willingness to receive that. So we lean in, We pray for that. We open ourselves up for that. That infinite broadcast of spirit is always there. So I love that. It's powerful. Now, learning to live in the now. So this is a really cool concept to me. This really, you know, I love this. So people usually live in one of three tenses, past, future, or present. And so if they're living in the past, there's either shame or pride. So that's what they're focusing. Their focus in the past is either on shame or on pride. Or they're somebody that may be living in the future. So there's ambition or fear. You know, afraid of the unknown, afraid of what's coming, or ambition and driving forward. And then there's the present, which is either embarrassment or vanity, right? Because we're self-centered. It's circling around us. But the now is different. It's a timeless dimension. And I heard somebody say one time, it's like, everything that we need is in the now. It's different than the present, but it's in the now. And the now is eternal. It's now. It's now. We're breathing now. We're not breathing in the future, not breathing in the past. We're breathing now, right here, right now. And so everything that we need is present right here, right now. And it's just a powerful, it's timeless. Because we could, so you think of past, future, and present is based in time, but the now is timeless. It's eternal. And so we ask ourselves, how can I live more in the timeless dimension of now? It's powerful. We really, that, you know, it's, I'm going to meditate on that more and more and more, because it just, there's something there. There's something there. It's just powerful. And then the last thing is learning to live in gratitude. And this is interesting. Gratitude is a tuning device for greater flow. And there are different types of gratitude. So there's two types we look at, gratitude for and gratitude in. So we could be grateful for, you could be grateful for your home, your family, your health, your dog, your pets, your, you know, the computer you write on. That's gratitude for. But then gratitude in, whatever you're experiencing, and that it brings awareness and a new perception. So gratitude in. And the frequency of gratitude is aligned with the frequency of abundance. And there's a, I have to find the passage, and it's one of the letters of Paul. I have to find the exact passage. I don't have it on the top of my head, but he's in a Roman prison, and you have to realize that in biblical times, the Romans, the prisons were horrible. It's just like they were dirt floors, they were dark and damp, there were bugs and rats, and, you know, it was just horrible, horrible condition. And, you know, he's being beaten, and he's in pain. And he says something about, even though he's in these conditions, he is still grateful within that, within, as opposed to grateful for. Because obviously, I'm grateful for the rats that are nibbling at my toes, or grateful for the dampness and the, you know, all of this. No, but grateful in. It's a whole different way to say it. So whatever you're experiencing, you know, grateful in. And so that becomes part of who we are, is grateful in.
Yeah, I think he says, "And I have found whatsoever state I am, therein I have found to be content."
Exactly, exactly. And so it's no matter where, what state I'm in, no matter what the facts and circumstances are, I choose to see the truth beyond that. I mean, that's the deeper message here, is I'm grateful in gratitude, as opposed to grateful for. It's a shift. It's a spiritual shift. It's a big shift, I think, if we start to feel that. Because oftentimes it's like, you know, it's like when things are going well, we're like, oh, we're grateful for this and grateful for that. But then something could shift, and all of a sudden now we're just like, rah, 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 you know, just like, this is horrible. Well, what happened to the gratitude that you just felt 5 minutes ago? You know, it just shifted. But if we're in that state of being grateful, in no matter what the circumstances, no matter what is happening around us, no matter if we're in a Roman prison, you know, suffering and pain, be grateful in, have that gratitude in, be content in. And so ask yourself, how can I learn to live more in gratitude, within that? That's a big shift. That's a big shift. And that's a practice that you know, I know for me, it's a big practice for me. You know, to constantly be aware of that. To be grateful in, within. So any thoughts on those last three points? So learning to listen to the infinite broadcast of spirit, learning to live in the now, and learning to live in gratitude. In gratitude. And sort of interesting to me, because the last two, learning to live in the now and learning to live in gratitude, seems to me to be going hand in hand, right? Because if you're in the now and grateful in the now, it's you know, it's all connected there.
Yeah.
Grateful within.
Yeah, I guess I'll have to have a little more meditation on that now thing. I'm not quite getting that. How do I get there? How do I live in now?
In the now, you know. Now. Because it's like, you know, because we experience life through space and time. But in spirit, in our thoughts, there is no space and time. And so I think, so that the concept of now is removed from that. It's timeless. It's eternal. And so I think that's where we need to contemplate and to meditate on. I certainly haven't mastered that either. But the concept is—it seems very powerful. It's right there on the edge. It's like on the—it's like something on the tip of my tongue, type of thing. It's like, there's something there, you know. I'm just, you know, I'm aching for that eternal now, right now, right now, right now. So, and it may be, which just came to me. It may be just, again, tuning into the Holy Spirit, tuning into God's presence, which is omnipresent, which is always here, that infinite broadcast of spirit, because that's eternal, it's now. So, you know, it's something really to lean into. So I'll be interested to hear how that journey goes, because I'm doing it too.
It's very powerful for me, because, and it brings up a lot of emotion, because I'm writing my book right now, which is, the working title is This Gift. And a lot of the things we're talking about are themes or streams that run through it. Not necessarily overtly, but within the context of what's going on. And anyway, so I get very emotional just now because it's very powerful, because it's part of one of the perhaps one of the messages I was trying to convey to my father. So anyway, I look
maybe
forward to you guys reading it.
Yeah, we look forward to it as well. So maybe this gave you some, you know, another dimension to meditate on.
Yeah, it did.
You know, another portal or gateway into that.
I just got super, like, emotion just came super charged up to my, up in me.
So. I often feel that way when the spirit comes upon me.
Our challenge right now, our mind has been, as I was thinking about this here, learning to live in gratitude in whatsoever state I am. Our greatest challenge right now seems to be money, and to be able to figure out how this is going, where it's all going to come from, or how it's going to work, and all of this, and then to have that real, really gratitude that I can be in this state.
Yeah,
you know, I have a tendency. Yeah. Well, why do I need to be in this state? Surely, you know, why? How can I be, you know, have gratitude? Because why do I need to be here?
Well, if you think of it, this is the way it lands for me. The state of gratitude, the frequency. Let me go. The frequency of gratitude is the same frequency of abundance, is the same frequency as love, and the same frequency of God. And so why do we need to be in that frequency? Well, imagine if you were in gratitude or in love or in the presence of God all the time, then that sense of lack, like, oh, I don't have this, you know, this money to pay the bills, it completely shifts it. And if we can go through our days, you know, through our actions, through our activities, daily, weekly, in that state, as constant as we can, you know, again, I think life just gets a whole lot easier. That's a challenge, because we've learned to live with our five senses in the land of fact and circumstance, and we get pulled out. But if we can learn to be in gratitude, in the now, you know, in gratitude all the time, or as often as we humanly possible, I think things will start to shift. You know, it's like I think one time, Daryl, you told me, and I often use this as a teaching story. You said one time it was like you were in Arizona, you're driving down, it had just snowed, and there was a lot of snow, and you said, I'm just looking at the beauty of the landscape. It's just gorgeous. Even though it had just snowed, there's snow everywhere. And I said, and then what came to me is like, well, there could be a guy in a car next to you that's looking at the same scenery, the same beauty that you're looking at, but yet see it as a burden. It's like, oh, the snow, it's just like, it's so cold. I had to shovel snow and clean up the car, and, you know, it's making me late to work. And, you know, so it's what the energetic state that you're coming to it is what's reflected back. And then let's say the guy gets a call on his phone. He answers the call. He's grumpy. He's just like, you know. And now he receives this call that the job he applied to a couple weeks ago, they're making an offer. They're saying, we want you, and you know we're excited, and you know we're giving you the salary that you wanted and everything, and come in later this afternoon, and we'll you know sign the papers and do all of that. So he hangs up the phone. So what do you think now his state, his energetic state now is in relation to the beautiful landscape around him? The landscape didn't change. The snow didn't change. What shifted was the energetic state inside him, and now everything looks beautiful. Everything looks fresh. Everything is, he's now grateful for the beauty and the landscape around him. But the only difference was what shifted inside of him. And so I often use that as a teaching point, because it's just like making the shift. If we can make the shift inside of us to be in compassion, to be in gratitude, to be in the now, to be in love, to be in the vibration of God as often as we can, as often as we are humanly possible, it just shifts the experience that we have on the outside. And that's the same frequency of abundance. And so there is no lack. There's no lack of time. There's no lack of ideas. There's no lack of creativity. There's no lack of finances. And then things, it just feels lighter and more enjoyable, and then let it flow. Let it flow. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah, yesterday I had an experience there with, I was going up the trail, up the Madera Canyon there. It's really beautiful and stream flowing, and all of a sudden I saw some turkeys, big wild turkeys, or really big gould turkeys, and they were coming up from the stream. And so I stopped and stood real still and just waited and waited and waited. And they finally come, one of them came within 9 feet of me, walked past, until all of a sudden it realized I was there. Then as I was standing there watching as they was going and moving away from me there, I looked up, and this man was coming down the trail, and he walked within just a few feet of those turkeys. And when he got to me, I says, did you see the turkeys? You notice those turkeys there? Oh, no, he says, I didn't even notice them. He says, he was so so engrossed in his thinking that he wasn't even seeing the turkeys. He wasn't seeing the beauty around him. He was so involved in his thoughts that he couldn't enjoy the beauty around him or even see those turkeys that was right just a few feet away from him.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's exactly it too. It's like so being in that state, you're just more open, you're more aware. Because now, so if we think back on some of the lessons, so was he living in the past? Was he living in the future? Was he living, what tense was he learning, you know, living in? He certainly wasn't in the now. Yeah, he certainly wasn't in the now, right? So that's a good story. That's a good story. So I think you answered your own question. Like, why do I need to be in gratitude? Well, that's why. Because you're in that state. You're in that vibration. You're in that environment, and that will just attract more of that. Attract more of that. And it shifts inside us. Shifts inside us, and then it just makes us more aware. So, you know, you're more aware of the beauty of these wild turkeys coming down. You know, we see something, you know, it's just, we become more aware. It's just like when you know, Caroline gets in the car, she said, I'm going to see purple cars today. She set an intention, and then she became more aware of the presence. So if we set an intention, well, money is going to come to me easily today. It's going to flow in. It could be from my Enagic business, it could be from someplace else, but I'm just open to it. I'm just going to be open. I'm going to set that intention. I'm just open to it, open to the ideas, to the creativity, to the love, the abundance, to God's omnipresence. I'm just going to be open to it. I'm going to set my intention to that. And if we just practice that and practice that and practice that and practice that, I think it becomes easier and easier. So.
Excellent.
I love that. All right, so the life work this week, being in harmony with the laws of the universe. So what steps can you take this week to put yourself in greater harmony with the laws of the universe and the flow of abundance in your life? So that's one of the things. Being a receiver, how and what would you love to receive this week? So setting that intention, sending that order out. So what would you like to receive this week? And then we're also going to continue with our circulate, clear out, and create space. So what can you clear out in your environment, in your relationships or finances this week? So what can be done? So that's the life work this week. So next week, Caroline and I are leaving on Monday. We're heading down to Georgia to spend 6 days with Mary. It's a deep dive. It's actually a business retreat. So 6 day deep dive into working on our business, working on our vision. Getting some, you know, mentoring. So what we'll do is, like we did last month, we'll record the lesson, and we'll put it in your online coaching portal, and we'll send out through our text service. We'll send out messages and stuff when that is available. So there won't be a live call next week, but there will be the week after. So we'll just resume the following Thursday. Let me just pull this up. So today is the 28th. Yeah, so next Thursday, the 4th, we'll be in Georgia, and then we'll resume our next live call on the 11th, Thursday the 11th. And we go into the month of manifestation. So I'm really excited about that. It's springtime, right? So the earth is waking up, and it's coming back alive. It's manifesting. And so we're going to start to deep dive and go deeply into the topic of manifestation, into that domain. So we're excited for that. So so you can, you know, listen to the meditation for week one in manifestation and the work in the workbook on that. All right.
Very good. Thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome. And keep up. Keep leaning in. You know, the work shows. So by leaning in, doing the work, applying these principles, you know, making it a lifestyle, we grow. We grow. We expand, and life becomes a lot more fun. All right, guys.
All righty, take care.
And have a great couple weeks. Again, if anything, you know, comes up, you get wobbly, you have a question, you have a praise report, you know, we're always available, so feel free to reach out. We're here. Even if we're away, we're, you know, we'll always respond.
Okay, thank you very much.
All right. Enjoy.